This candle we light today represents Jesus Christ, who was born as God in flesh.
This child would bring hope, not just a wish, but the confidence that God would defeat evil. This child would bring peace, even in the midst of suffering and trials, a peace that assures us that he is in control. This child would bring joy, for he would deliver us. This child would bring love, a love that would never be taken away, a love that is beyond our understanding. This child is the light of the world. His light brings hope, peace, joy, and love when all seems dark.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star. Star dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, hear what I hear. Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know?
In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know?
A child shivers in the cold. Bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold.
Let us bring him
worship band, and for leading us and getting us started tonight. It's so good to hear from you. They do a great job, don't they? That's amazing. Yeah. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. It's great to have you here. My name is Ryan. It's my joy and privilege to serve as one of the pastors here on staff. And it's fun to be here with you tonight. For those of you who Seacoast is your home church and you worship with us week after week, we're so glad to have you with us tonight. And we will get you out of here on time to go enjoy the rest of your evening. But we're glad you're with us. And it's fun to see a bunch of college students back and some of the young adults who have moved away to work and who are in the area visiting family. And some are the parents visiting their kids and joining us tonight. So we love that. We're so glad that you can be here with us for that. And maybe for you, this is you're new to San Diego. And this is your first Christmas. You're looking for a church to celebrate in, and you're learning to adjust to San Diego winters, and you're just figuring this out. And but we're glad that you are with us and celebrating tonight. And as well as I want to acknowledge, and some of you maybe you say, and I know some of you tell me, hey, we come here every year on Christmas. Maybe you come on Easter, and we're so glad. If you only attend church a couple times a year and you choose to spend that time with us, we actually don't take that lightly. We appreciate that. We love that you are here with us, and that you choose to spend those days that we think are really important days to spend that with us and to be reminded of the biblical story, reminded how much God loves us. And if that's you and you're here, man, we're glad you're here. We'd love to see you more throughout the year, but we are so grateful you're here on those 2 days. Honestly, it's awesome to have you here. Yeah, even a shout out. Way to go. Well, like, you know, Christmas is, if those of you who know me, you know that I like to talk about it. And this season, I've told you that I enjoy it. I still really like the Christmas season. I like the lights and the gifts, and I like the music and the movies and all the parts that kind of make the modern American celebration of Christmas. I actually like most of it. Some of the chaos I can do without. Some of the traffic and people driving on Camino Real this last few weeks, if that was you, I just say I'm sorry right now, just seriously. But it was some of that chaos is tough. And I know for some of you this time of year, you feel totally stressed. If you feel that way, it makes you feel stressed. And if you feel stressed, someone told me the holiday season, though, if you spell stressed backwards, think of it. Anyone? Oh, good. That was quick. It took me like 10 minutes. Some of you are like, just tell us, Ryan. It spells desserts backwards. So if you... Some of you are like, I'm not going to get there in this message, so you just might as well just tell me. So I'm not a big dessert guy, but if you consider like fatty foods and you know, rich, good foods dessert, then that's me for this holiday season. So I love that. It's a fun part of it. But you know, tonight what I want to talk about is a few things. This is the day we celebrate what we believe is one of the most significant events in human history. The only thing that compares is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is the day when God became man, and we celebrate that. And here 2,000 years later, the whole world pauses to think about it. And tonight I want to talk about some of the symbols that we use, some of the things that you see Christmas cards and songs, and those things that kind of point to this event that happened. Now, some of them don't point at all to the birth of Jesus, but they point to a Christmas story or Christmas things. But they point to this event, but some of them, they often, almost always, come up short of the real significance of this night. Even on something superficial, I was thinking of some of the songs. There are a few Christmas songs in my house that are on the Do Not playlist. Does anyone have some of those? You know, the ones where you're like, that, I don't ever need to hear that song again. I wish no one ever recorded it, and I don't know how I can get rid of it from human history. But I'm not going to tell you which songs those are, because I have friends, if they knew that, they would play it all the time for me. It would be, I would just hear it constantly. So I won't tell you what's on the Do Not playlist, but there are a few. There are some songs that are, they're on the okay list, but I was listening to one of them this year. It's not on my void list, but it was kind of the words, just, I've never listened to the words. And it's a Beach Boys song, Little Saint Nick. Some of you know, it does not tell the Christmas story, by the way. But it's okay, we're San Diego beach, you know, surf culture, so Beach Boys were okay. But I never realized on this song, I've never really listened to it. And this year I was listening to it, and there's a tagline kind of halfway through that says, Christmas comes this time each year. You know that? And then I don't know why he doesn't ask me to be on the worship team. But so it says that, and then it says that like 500 times. The rest of the song just keeps repeating it. And I never noticed that before. And I was thinking about it like, yeah, we know. Like, you don't need to, what is that, why did you add that line? Christmas comes this time each year. Like, we get it. It does come. That's how calendars work. But as I was listening to that song, I thought, okay, that song is very far from Christmas. But here's the thing I started thinking about. Every year we pause and we think about Christmas. But the cool thing about the real Christmas story is it only had to happen once. That it's an event that we celebrate, it's this big churchy word, the incarnation. It's where God became man and lived among us and existed and grew up as a kid and became a man and became a worthy sacrifice on behalf of a sinful humanity. But that's not something that had to happen over and over and over again, because it was sufficient that the Son of God took our place. And so though we celebrate it and we think about it this time each year, it only had to happen once. The song, in many ways, in every way, comes up short of the real message. But there's other things that I think about that are symbols for this season. One is Christmas cards. I heard a story of a lady who, she was kind of running through the Christmas season and had a ton of things to do. Some of you can relate. And sending Christmas cards, I had to get them out to everyone so that everyone got their Christmas cards on time. Any of you there where you just decided, hey, we're sending New Year's cards? Like, forget about Christmas cards this year, they're New Year's cards. My wife and I, the first couple of years of marriage, we actually did Valentine's Day cards, because, like, no one does that. And it really was just Christmas cards, just took a while to get them out. But so she was trying to get her Christmas cards out on time, and she had like 45 people on her list. So she went to the card store and just bought a 50 pack. So 50 of the same card. She loved the cover of it, and just opened them up, put the name in, signed her name, addressed them, mailed these all out. Never once read inside the card. Until after everything's sent, she finally got a chance to catch her breath, and she says, these cards, I love these cards, they're so beautiful. What does it say on the inside? She opens it up and it says, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas on this happy day. A small gift is heading your way. Sent to only 45 people. As I heard that story and I was thinking of it and relating it to the real Christmas story, of the great thing about this story is that throughout Scripture, we see that there was a promise of a gift coming, but it did come. You see, the story of the Bible begins in the Hebrew Scriptures, which we call the Old Testament. There was a time when the ancient people of Israel were called by God to represent his name to the world. They were to represent his character and his love and justice and kindness to the rest of the world, yet they continued to come up short of that. And they went through a series of time where they fell out of favor with God and they were exiled to other nations. And in that, the prophets began speaking to this ancient people of Israel, telling them that hope is on its way. That you are not going to be left in this darkness that you're experiencing. You're not going to be left trying to become more holy, but God is going to send a solution. And this is where they get the idea of this name of the Messiah or the Anointed One. God will send a Savior who will come. In fact, the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, to the people who are walking in darkness, they will see a great light. To the people who are living in darkness, a great light will shine on them. And later on in verse 5 of that chapter, it says, for unto us a child is born and a son is given. And that child's name will be Wonderful Counselor, my Almighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. And he'll establish his government. There'll be no end to his government or to peace. And on the throne of David, he will reign. It was a promise by the prophets that said that God will send a solution. It wasn't a card that said a gift is coming, but it will never actually show up. On that Christmas morning or that Christmas day, whenever Jesus was born, that it was a fulfilled promise of God that he will send a solution. Another card that I read about, or another story about cards I read about recently was a grandfather who his kids were getting older and all of his grandkids were getting older as well. And every year he bought gifts for them and it was getting more and more difficult to find the perfect gift for everybody. So he said, this year, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to get a stack of $100 bills and send it to all my grandkids and all my kids. It's just a lot easier. So he did that. He got a stack of $100 bills. He bought some cards and in the card, he looked inside and he wrote, hey, Merry Christmas from Grandpa. You can buy your own gift this year. And sent all the cards to everybody, and they all got received their cards. And then on the Christmas Day celebration, he was hanging out with his family, but everyone was treating him a little differently. It was a little awkward for some reason. And he wasn't sure why. I was like, why? Just because I sent cards instead of gifts. And it wasn't until later that night he went home and he was organizing and cleaning off his desk, and he moved the paper with all the addresses on it. And he moved it and he found a stack of $100 bills under the paper. And he realized he forgot to put the money in the cards. So his whole family received Christmas cards that said, "Merry Christmas from Grandpa, get your own gift this year." That's significantly different without the money, isn't it? I mean, that card has a lot different meaning. And as I heard that story and I was thinking of the biblical storyline, and to me, that is the Bible without Christmas. If we had the story of the Bible from the beginning of God creating us and mankind failing and being sinful and selfish and all this, but there was never a solution, it would be as if God said, "Hey, you guys, if you could figure out a way to become more holy and more religious and more perfect, then I'm good with that. But find your own way back to me." But the Christmas story actually is the card with the money in it that says what you really want as people, what you're really designed for, is a relationship with the Creator God. And not only do you need that and want it, even if you don't know it, and our Creator wants that with us, but then he says, "But I'm going to send the solution. I'm going to put the money in the card." And without Christmas, our Bible is just a book of religion and stuff we have to do to somehow earn our way back. But the gift was Jesus who was born. I was thinking of the story of the shepherds on the night when the angels appeared to them in Luke chapter 2. And the angels appeared and they said, "Glory to God in the highest." And they said, "But tonight we give to you good news of great joy for all the people, for tonight, for today, who's born to you a Savior. It's Christ the Lord, and he's been born in Bethlehem." And then the angel said to the shepherds that, "And this sign will be given to you, that you'll find the baby lying in a manger wrapped in cloths." Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago at Seacoast. So if you were part of Seacoast and you were here, you had heard part of this already. But the sign to the shepherds was the one place where shepherds would be welcome would be in a barn at a manger. They would not have been welcomed into the temple. They weren't religious enough or purified. They wouldn't be welcomed into a palace. They wouldn't be welcomed into the home of a noble person or a wealthy person. But the one place where shepherds who were dirty and they were ceremonially unclean in the Jewish culture, the one place they could go would be to a barn, to a stable where there's a manger. So the very sign that the Savior was born and it's good news for all people was that even the shepherds could see him. It's a gift. It's the money in the card. It's the gift from God saying, "I will fulfill what I promised. I want this relationship with you, and I will find a way for you." The last card I want to talk about is actually kind of, this is going to date me a little bit with technology, okay? So we're going to talk about fax machines for a second here. Now, some of you are young enough where you think fax machines are those machines that check fax. No. They are what people use to send paper over the telephone line. Yeah, imagine that. And so now how many of you can remember a time maybe you had on your home line the big day when you got a fax machine attached to your telephone? Did anyone have that there? Come on, shout it out. You got to put the paper at your own house. You had a fax machine. You were like next level. I mean, welcome to the 90s, right? It was, and yes, we are talking about the 1900s, but so you would send messages. So this mom would love to write letters to her daughter who lived away. And her daughter kept saying, "Mom, there's a faster way you can do it. You can just call me." She goes, "No, I like to write." She goes, "Here's a faster way to send me letters or notes, and cheaper, is you can just fax me, write the note and fax it to me." And her mom thought, "Oh, that's a good idea." So she did that a few times. And then on Christmas, she attached a $100 bill to this letter and put it through the fax machine and sent it to her daughter. And said that was way cheaper. You're right. That was a great technology. Those of you who don't understand what I'm talking about right now, just ask someone older than you later what happened to the money. But, yes, yeah, okay, thank you. So on that story, the story, this is obviously just a funny story about someone in Christmas time. But it's a symbol that falls short. And it reminds me that the real Christmas story was a gift that did cost something. It was a gift of God's presence and his life with us that did cost something. And the love of God is so great for you and for me that it wasn't a cheap gift to become man and to live among us and to eventually give his life on our behalf before he was resurrected. He suffered a real death, and he knew the mission from the beginning. That's the Christmas story, and it was costly. It was a gift given to us. Now, in that Christmas story, there's one final group of characters I want to mention for tonight, and that was this Magi, or the wise men. The wise men were these nobles from the east, probably from the land of Persia, and they would read the stars, and somehow through God's providence, he showed them that through the stars that there'd be a king born in Israel. So the wise men travel there, and they find the baby Jesus, and the Bible tells us that they brought gifts, and they had three gifts that they brought, and that's why we get our tradition of three wise men. There was probably a whole entourage of them, but three gifts, three wise men, it fits in the manger scene. It works. But the gifts they gave were these. The first one was gold. The gift of gold was an acknowledgement that this was a king, that there's a new kind of kingdom coming. This wasn't going to be a king who's going to overthrow the Roman government or anything, but he's a new kingdom that comes. And through the costly gift of Jesus, there was a new king. The next gift that they brought was a gift of frankincense. And as a kid, I always would hear that and say, what does Frankenstein have to do with Christmas? A gift of frankincense, which was a very expensive spice or an oil, and it was used by the priesthood. And so in Israel, the priests would use this. And it was a symbol or symbolic of not only was Jesus king, but he was a priest, meaning this, that now we had access to God the Father. So the costly gift of Jesus' presence and as he lived among us meant that now we don't have to work our way to God, but he is our direct access. The third gift was myrrh, which is an ointment, and it was very expensive, and it's an awkward gift to a child, but it was prophetic in its nature because that was used often to anoint or prepare a body for burial. And it was symbolic of the real costly gift that eventually would happen. As Jesus would grow and become and fulfill the prophecies in Isaiah, that through his wounds we would be healed. Written at least 400 years before Christ, by the way. And so they fulfilled that, or it was an acknowledgement of this prophecy. A costly gift that was given for you and for me. So today when we, and tonight as we finish our time of just celebrating and thinking on the story of Christmas, our hope and our prayer for you is as you leave here, that all of the stress and all of the things that you've had on your mind, the things you still need to do, even as all the songs and the movies and the music and everything that you hear, would you take a moment to pause and think of the great significance and the depth of the story of Jesus and his presence among us? Would you stop and just take a moment to think that this event in history has changed the world? And we're going to end our time and actually go into a time of candle lighting. And as we move into a time of candle lighting, we're going to light these candles, and I will pass it on from one to the next. And as we do that, let it be a symbol to you of the light of Jesus that is not left for just one person. It wasn't just one event, but it's something that now has spread to the ends of the earth. That event that happened that day in Bethlehem is something that we still are thinking about. We're still being transformed by. So I think of the Christmas song, O Holy Night, which is many people's favorite, and it's one of my favorites by far, much better than Little Saint Nick. It talks about, it's the night of our dear Savior's birth, because long lay the world in sin and error. We were pining, we were just longing for something, for light to break into the darkness. And when he appeared, our soul felt its worth. The story of Christmas reminds us that you have worth. If you are here tonight and you feel unworthy, that is not the story of Christmas. It is that you are such great value to the Creator God. The second verse of that famous song ends with, truly he's taught us to love one another. And we're reminded that in the story of Christmas, that it's a light of Jesus that transforms us, but through us now, he transforms the world. that through broken people that the light of Jesus spreads. And that is what this symbolizes as we will sing and pass the candles in just a moment. So as we get to this time, I just need to make public service announcement as we light the candles. Be mindful of the head in front of you, the hair in front of you. Keep the candle kind of close. As you light the candles, you can hold yours, put yours over the one that's already lit so that we don't dump wax everywhere. It does make cool designs, but is really hard to clean. So keep the lit candles this direction, if you could. And as we hand this, we just want you to pause and to notice how the light will transform the darkness and how quickly that happens. And if you're here today and you say, well, I'm a broken person, how can the light shine through me? I love the non-biblical writer, but songwriter Leonard Cohen said this, that there's a crack in everyone, and that's how the light gets in. I think through our brokenness is how the light of Jesus enters in. When we can recognize that we don't have to be bulletproof and perfect in every way, but in our brokenness, God comes to us in our darkness. That is the story of Christmas. So I want to invite you, would you stand, and I'm going to pray, and then I'll start handing off the candle as everybody, or as our band sings. Lord God, we thank you again for the symbol of Christmas. We thank you for the light that transforms the world. And even as we look at Christmas cards and songs that tell an incomplete story, Lord, when we hear from you, we see that nothing was left out. That you were the money in the card, you were the costly gift, you were the answer to all of our hope, or all of our fears. And everything we were hoping for, you fulfilled. So we thank you for that. And now, Lord, if there's anyone here who's feeling unworthy, feeling like they're just living in the darkness away from you, if there's anyone who feels maybe it's darkness from the loss of a loved one or darkness from a broken relationship, darkness from depression or anxiety, darkness from guilt or shame or whatever it is, may you, Jesus, the light of the world, shine in that dark space right now. May you, as the light of the world, be the one to transform and change us. And then through those of us who are changed, would you let your light shine through us to change and transform this world in which we live? We thank you for the story of Christmas. We thank you that it's real. And thank you that we can be reminded of your truth tonight. In your name, amen. All right, I will start passing the light around while the band sings a song, and then we'll join in with them.